Well, greetings from those of us a couple hours just off 27 near Long Prairie. My name is Phil Tolbert. I get the privilege of being the program director out at Lake Beauty. I'm just going to share with you guys a little brief history of what's been going on with us the last couple of years, especially what's been going on with us in the last few months. And then I have been given the opportunity to be able to speak. I was here in 2019 when, about 2 months into my time of being at Lake Beauty, so it's crazy that it's been this long since I've been back. But proclaiming Jesus and reflecting his love through a high-quality Christian camp experience. That is our mission statement. And so we do that. One of the major facets that we do is summer camp. And so we like to proclaim Jesus and reflect his love, again, through high-quality Christian camp. And so we do that with summer camp. We do that with retreats. We actually have a couple guest groups out there right now. So some people are like, what do you do in your off-season, Phil? Because I primarily run a lot of the summer camp stuff, and we still have retreats out there. We have programmatic retreats. Right now, one of them is a quilting retreat, so some of you may have been a part of that. It's been going on for a number of years. And or we have lots of churches that come out, whether they're our own, that own Lake Beauty, Covenant Churches, and or organizations. This is a college group that's actually out there as well. So we multiple guest groups that we get to do during the off season. I, of course, run a lot of summer camp things. So anything that has to do with summer camp, it really goes through me. And so that is where I get to go. I'm at the tail end now because once we hit Easter, or once we hit actually Tuesday, which I'll get to, once we hit Easter, my promotion season kind of gets a little slower. So I've been out and about at a lot of the Covenant churches in the last 2 months or so. So it's been really great. That takes up a lot of my time on Sundays, but it's a lot of fun to be able to go and speak to different congregations. So, but we're planning, of course, for things this summer. I said Tuesday because Tuesday is actually the day that I have to tell everybody that you guys get the ability to be my last church before our early bird deadline hits, which is Tuesday. So if you sign up prior to that, which a lot of churches, our phone has been off the hook the last week or so. A lot of people wait till this time and or the church does. And so they'll call in with their rosters. And a lot of churches, like I believe Bethlehem here in Wheaton has done, helps out the campers. I don't know the specifics or how much. That is probably something that Pastor Tim and or Pastor Greg have shared with you guys. And I'm sure that he will probably again, even just to kind of give a little snippet. But yeah, so you have until Tuesday for early bird. But I'm super excited for things this summer. I'm super excited for the staff that we've been able to hire. It's just phenomenal. I've been talking with other people in camping community, and they have had somewhat of a challenge even of hiring staff still coming off of COVID the last couple of years. We have been blessed and not have really had to deal with any of that. We actually have a staff in numbers as much as I did in 2019, which is great, and here we are only in the month of April. I'm excited, of course, for the speakers that are lined up to come out and keynote speak during the different weeks of summer camp, whether they are youth pastors or family friends or former employees of Lake Beauty during the summer. So I'm really excited about that and about the different people that we have gathered to come. I'll now transition a little bit. So I mentioned the last couple years. I'm excited about all of these things that are happening because that's kind of the one thing that brings stability to my life. I think since my time at Lake Beauty has been full of this lovely season of the unknown and the unscripted and transition, I was blessed with having a great summer of 2019, which we were trying to answer this question of, who am I? And we dove into this idea of who I am through Jesus, through walking in the deserts, encountering life throughout it. And then 2020, our theme was, what's God's purpose? And I jokingly say, I think it was God's purpose that we didn't have summer camp that summer, I guess. So we shifted and we went really family, we went with a more family approach. Some individual churches came out. But so that was my second summer, was that. Last summer, we got to kind of get back to normalcy, and we answered the question, what's my purpose? And we really, really dove into this idea of building community, having a sense of community, being at a base camp where we were able to bear one another's burdens and learn those tools of the trade so that we could pour into one another, which is something that we so desperately needed last year anyway. So then I had that, and it was great, and we were coming off of a good amount of numbers. We were a little bit lower than 2019 just because of, just much like churches coming off the caution of everything that was going on. Our numbers this year are already looking, we're already doubled the amount of registrants that we have this year than we did even in last year. So we're really excited about that, but we get off of summer camp, and my season kind of slows down a bit, and we're getting through in the retreat season, and then it was Halloween when our executive director, Brian Allness, got taken to the hospital. And he was taken to Little Falls. They then transferred him to St. Cloud. He eventually wound up in the Twin Cities. And most of you probably know, or maybe you guys watched or went, or you just know, January 4th, he passed away. And so it's just been so much more transition for all of us. Joking but not joking, I say I'm the program director, but I've taken on, because I had to, as well as Leland Scheinberger, our guest service director, taking on just a little bit of those roles that Brian filled. And we learn every day of just the amount of facets that man had. And if you had ever met Brian, it could have been you've known him for his entire life to just a 5-minute interaction. You would have walked away from that thinking, man, I just found my best friend, because he was the epitome of relationships. And so it's brought a big hole in our community at camp, in our church relations, in a lot of ministries, because that man was just involved with a lot. And each person that works and is affiliated with camp has mourned and processed in their own different ways. So we were without an executive director for a couple months there. Our board chair, Paul Zahasky, took over on an interim basis for about 90 days. That subsided in March, and the board was fervent in finding an interim replacement. They found one reluctantly. His name is Keith Kruger. He's been involved with Lake Beauty for 30 plus years. He's from the St. Cloud area, just recently retired from his medical profession working in the VA, and he agreed to come on for about 6 to 8 months and just kind of right the ship. Because that's just really what it was. A lot of people came up to us when Brian went to the hospital and said, so what's camp going to do now? How is camp going to run? And, well, the hierarchy of us is our executive director did not have much to do with our day-to-day operations. He entrusted those that he put in those positions so that we could do that. Same with Summer. He had really no much part to play in that, so he entrusted me with that. So things were still going as was and as is. We were just in places where we needed checks to be signed, so that we could pay off bills and everything, and that was that position. There was other things that shifted, again, church relations, some budgetary things, little things, this and that just kind of fell on us. But Dr. Keith Kruger is now there, and then the board has been working hard because Brian had been in place for 15 years, so they're re-looking at the position, seeing what the needs are for it, that sort of thing. And so, again, we're just in a lot of transition, a lot of looking at things and program areas and what we can do and how we can serve better. So I get excited because I like that. It just kind of keeps things going. And we're just in an evaluation of a lot of things. But the one thing that we're not evaluating, of course, is proclaiming Jesus and is reflecting his love through a high-quality Christian camp experience. So I say all those things because it transitions to the question that I want to answer this summer. So we went, who am I? What is God's purpose? What is my purpose? And it's, who is God? Ooh, wow, look at that. This big sign. So I usually tell churches and or people, and there's usually like some people go in their mind and they're thinking like, who is God? And some people are looking at me like, are you crazy? And I would agree, yes, I have a little bit of that. My wife would agree that I have this bit of craziness. Because it's a daunting question. It's really hard to just pinpoint. You know, we have the Bible, you know, this whole huge book, which explains a lot of this characteristics of who God is. But to just pinpoint it to one thing, we just can't do. So I was sitting in my office this fall as I was going through this question, and a children's song that I spoke to the little kids during Sunday school kind of kept going in my mind of, my God is so great, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. I have 3 children, all 5 and under, so that song, like many others like that, play in my head a lot. But that song particularly got stuck in my head, and I'm reciting it like that, and I'm just in agreement. I'm going, yeah, my God is great. My God is strong, mighty, and there's nothing he can't do. He's just like without limits. And then it dawned on me, I'm like, oh, we serve such a limitless God. Again, hard to pinpoint this whole idea. And so that my staff doesn't like me sometimes because I create this abstractness of like this title. And it's not like about deserts or mountains or going back to the future or safaris or anything like that. But it's just this idea of like this limitless and we can be on a journey. And I tell people that like I can go from here, point A, like Lake Beauty to point B, Bethlehem Covenant Church. And just the amount of things that I can see on like a road trip like this, even if it's a 2-hour road trip, that there's so many things I can see or hear or notice, and it's all because of God and all because of his limitlessness that we're able to see and to know these things. And so I was sitting there, and then I came across this verse as I was reading that Morgan was so kind to read with us this morning. And that's what I'm going to dive into today. This is what we call a seamless transition. So, I'm going to let you guys in actually a little bit about who I am as a person. I am finishing up my Master's of Divinity at North Park Theological Seminary. And I got to the point this winter, much like many kids or many parents you know, your kids get a winter break. I too got one, and in between my fall semester ending and I had a class in January and some of the books I had to read for that class, I wanted to take, you know, just take some time off. So I thought about what do I want to do with this free time that I have of not having to study or anything, and I looked at my wife, and I looked at my kids, and I looked at my wife, and I said, hey, I'd really like to deep dive into these Marvel movies a little bit more. Now, if you do not know, there is this company known as Marvel. It was bought out by Disney a few years ago, and they put out a plethora, we'll say, I don't know, like 25 movies all within this huge universe. So I said, I would love to watch these before my class in January. So like 20 plus movies. And my wife said, no. And I said, I'm going to try it anyway. So I think for her it was not a hill that she wanted to die on. And so I took the time and if you go to Disney Plus, which we subscribe to, again, we have kids, and you go and you watch from the very beginning, you can chronologically watch your way up. So I'm doing this. And of course, Marvel is all about superheroes, you know, whether it's people that are really rich and have high tech or these made up beings from places like called Asgard, or it could be, you know, like this really interesting tech that can make somebody like really, really small. All of it made up, I agree. Yes, it's not like I believe that there are these people. But I'm watching these movies and I'm getting more into it and I'm deep diving. I'm listening to podcasts. I went like full turbo in this sort of thing. This describes who I am. I am the epitome of being a nerd. So I'm into this, and I get to this movie, which is called Infinity War, and it's the end. It's one of the end culmination of these phases. And well, all of these heroes come together, and they fight this ultra being. His name was Thanos, for if you need to know. And it's been like 4 or 5 years, so I think I can give it away. They lose. Flat out, they lose. And I'm thinking, these superheroes that are supposed to win, you know, and everything like that, oh, they saved the day, and that's how they've always been ever since, you know, you go way back into, like, the original Batman and Superman and all those ones even, they're supposed to win, and they lose. And everybody, of course, in, like, 2018 went into an uproar because they lost, and I'm thinking, man, this humanity, this aspect, people with superhero powers, how finite they are. That even though they were supposed to be like these ultimate people, they were still finite. Well, plot twist, of course, there was a second movie that came out and they won. Woo. So I get to the verse of Ephesians. And the letter that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, it's kind of in two acts, two parts. The first part, he's talking to these Jews and Gentiles. He's like, hey, we got to come together. We got to build this thing called unity. And chapter, which is chapters 1-3, chapters 4-6 is, well, here's the practicality. Here's how we're all equipped and this sort of thing. And here's the applications of how we can work together. But kind of right there at the end, we have these couple verses, and kind of Paul is like summarizing the second part, kind of like in a benediction, so to speak. And I looked at this verse, and I'm thinking, okay, this verse, limitless, and I go, okay, there's a phrase, actually, that's kind of mentioned twice in it, and some key verbs that I'd love to touch on. But it's this verse, or this phrase called able to do above and beyond. And I just sit there and I think about it, and I go, wow. Able to do above and beyond two things: all that we ask and all that we think. So I just celebrated a birthday. It's now been like 6 weeks. That's great. Actually, it's been almost 2 months. Wow. So I celebrated a birthday a couple months ago. And of course, birthdays are really great times, or Christmas, or maybe even your anniversary. Really great times for us to ask for things that, of course, we really, really want, but we do not need. And so I got to my birthday. Fun fact, I actually got to my birthday a couple years ago, and I love my mother. My mother's actually traveling right now to come see my family. I'm originally from Southwest Michigan, so it is like an 8 to 10 hour trek. And Karen is a great godly woman, and doesn't always have my best interest in mind, at least I think. So about a couple years ago, yeah, you would think moms, they should. They should know even, you know, when their child turns a birthday, that they should know. I get this package, huge box, in the mail. And I'm like, oh, wow, what did she get for me? And I open it up, and I look down, and I look at my wife, and I look down at this, and I go, why did I get this? And I go, I don't remember asking for this. And my wife goes, Jenna, my wife's name is Jenna. She goes, well, what? And I go, Jenna, and I pick up this big thing, and it's an RC car, like a really high, nice one. I looked it up. My mom spent a good amount of money on it, I think. And I'm just holding this box, and I go, what am I going to do with this? And I'm like, I don't know. So I'm calling my mom, because fun fact, if you do not do this, kids, you should do this when it's your birthday. Everyone wants to celebrate you for your birthday. Wow, great for being born. Woo, great. No, no, no. You call your mom and you tell her, hey, thanks for birthing me. Yeah, take that, put it in your pocket and everything like that. Take that home with you. But talk to your mom, you know, call your mom. So I call my mom and I'm like, hey, Carol. I won't get into that story. Her name is Karen, but I always refer to her as Carol because I'm that child. And I go, hey, Carol, thanks. You know, thanks again. You know, 33 years ago, you birthed me. It was great. I'm sure, yeah, it was a Sunday. It was rainy. I don't know. Thank you so much. And I go, hey, I got the gift. Thanks. But what am I supposed to do with this? And she was like devastated. And she's like, well, I thought that you would really like it and you could play with it with the boys. And she was thinking beyond even me and my, well, we'll say materialism or your centrality of, like, I was thinking like egocentric, like it's my birthday, I should get what I want. And so I think of that, like, birthday is great, this idea of like thinking what we want and what we might ask. Another thing that I think of in parents, this will resonate probably well with you, is when you take your children to the most wondrous place, I call it the grocery store. Yes. So I have, of course, 3 children. Going to the grocery store with them is a treat. Because I'll be there in the aisle, you know, getting my, I have my shopping list and everything like that, and I'll grab the one thing I need, and I'll look back into the cart, and there's like 15 other things that they claim we need, and I'm like, how did you even get that? That's all the way up there, and you're only like this. And kids think that they can predict, you know, all of these things that we ask, and they ask for things and birthdays. But then I think, I go, God is, it says here, Paul writes that he's able to do above and beyond all that we ask. Anything that we could ask for, he can provide it for. Does he always? No. And we have to live with that. And we have to be okay with that, because we have to trust that he's going to know and have that understanding of what we need. But beyond all we ask. And the second one, beyond all that we think. And now I'm going to take you on a journey back to the year 2002-ish. And I don't know about you, but my evenings in 2002 consisted of me watching a lovely show on the ABC network, or not a network, the ABC channel, called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Now, for those of you who do not know of this game, or it was a game show, more or less probably the row right here, let me explain it to you. So there was this game show hosted by the late, great Regis Philbin, God rest his soul, And he would host it, and he would have a contestant, and the contestant, of course, would have to answer 15 questions. And if they answered all 15 questions correctly, they would win $1 million. It was a big thing. Woo! That's a lot of money. A lot of money to have to deal with. And so the contestant, though, would get three lifelines. Number one, they could poll the audience. You know, oh, I don't know. And they were all multiple choice questions. I should say that. Oh, I'm going to poll the audience. Maybe they'll know. There was that one. There was the 50-50. Oh, they'll take two of the wrong answers away. But then there was my favorite one. It was called Phone a Friend. I don't know how they did this, and I've tried to deep dive research, and I haven't found really anything. But what they did, apparently, is you gave them a roster of people that you could call. Now, mind you, this was the early 2000s, and this thing called cellular phones were not a thing yet, guys, kids. So there was this thing called a landline. So it's like, I'm thinking, man, did this person just have to sit by their landline in case they were going to get a call from their buddy that was going to be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire that evening? I don't know. But they would call, you know, the contestants would call, and, you know, they'd get the question on, like, oh, you know, and they'd be like, I'm going to phone a friend. And luckily, this question is on astrophysics, and I just happen to know an astrophysicist. And they would call, and they would get some time to talk to their friend. And I imagine, this is my brain working, I imagine that God is my phone a friend in life, because he's able to provide and able to do above and beyond all that we think. His limitless power, his limitless knowledge, his limitless sovereignty for us all beyond all that we think and all that we ask. And so I then jump into a passage of scripture, a narrative, where I see in the book of Matthew. And the story goes like this. So it starts with immediately. So this immediately, I'll give you context. Jesus has just performed this miracle called the feeding of the 5,000. So it was when Jesus and the disciples had a bunch of 5,000 men, some women and children. So they always suggest it was probably even more than that. They were all hungry. Jesus said, hey, we should go around and figure out who has food for us to provide. And there was a little boy that said, hey, I've got some fish and bread. And Jesus went, okay, great. And the disciples went, did you see all these people? Can we even do that? Jesus prayed over it. They passed it all out. They collected, and of course they collected, I believe, 12 baskets. Well, here we go. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted his disciples get back into the boat and cross the other side of the lake, and while he sent the other people home that night. And after sending them away, Jesus himself went up to the hills by himself to pray, and night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 a.m, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once and said, don't be afraid, take courage, I am here. Then Peter called to him and said, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went to the other side of the boat and walked toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified, and he began to sink, screaming, save me, Lord. And Jesus immediately reached out, grabbed him, and said these great words, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? And when they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. I don't know about you, but I have never read or seen or heard or interviewed anybody that has walked on water. First and only time, I think, in human history this has existed. We have this deity and this human known as Jesus doing it, having the power to do, but giving the ability to a person. One more thing that Peter can chalk up, something that he's been able to do that no one else would, and that's walk on water, showcasing God's unlimited power. Four things, of course, that we can take away from this story that I think can go with us. The first one being, when we don't have 100% faith, we tend to falter. Of course, in the story, we have Peter and the other disciples looking out in the storm. We have to continue to remember that there was a storm going on, and storms and boats never go together. We see that a lot in Scripture. We see that with Jonah. We see that here. We see that in other places with Jesus when he's on the boat and he goes out and he calms the storm. We see that with Paul and the shipwreck. So we see that this idea of boats and storms, not a good thing. So in the midst of the storm, though, of course, Jesus walks to them. They think it's a ghost. Hey, that's good logic right there. But I don't know what you or I would think. You know, if you saw something happening that you'd never seen before, there's something hovering on the water. No, he was walking on the water. So they screamed, it's a ghost. Jesus says, no, it's me. So what is Peter's first response we hear from that besides Jesus was, well, Jesus, if it's really you, have me do this thing that you're doing. And I think I go, man, this idea of having 100% faith, it's hard. Because a lot of times, of course, even with big decisions, I don't know about you, but I've done it before where I'm like, I got to make this big decision. God, give me a sign. And then I'm like, I have to step back and I go, well, am I having 100% faith in that instance? And am I questioning God and what he's wanting me to do? You know, I get to the point, you know, I was a youth pastor down in Dawson for a number of years, 3 or 4 years, and loved it. I wasn't looking for anything else. And there was God, though, preparing a place for me to be where I'm at right now. Little did I know that that would actually be an occurrence. But when we don't have 100% faith, we tend to falter, because that leads to the second point with Peter, that fear will sink you. Now, we have this weird understanding of the fear. We've really attributed to fear being like afraid. When, of course, if you look back into the Old Testament, this idea of fear can kind of come with adoration, and we're supposed to, you know, the beginning of knowledge, and fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, Proverbs says. That we should have fear and reverence for God, but we've really attributed, taking back to like afraidness. So when we have that afraid fear, we will get sunk. Peter, of course, concentrating on Jesus. Big storm, what happens with him? He looks out at the storm, gets distracted, and what happens to him? Then, boom, goes down. How many times have we been in that position where we felt like we've been focused on the Lord and we've let outside things cause us to sink? And we've allowed those outside sources to come in and to separate us from this limitless being. There's a great quote that says, only by allowing God's love to meet us at the point of our greatest fear will we move from being people of fear to people of faith. Number three, speaking of faith, faith is this fun concept that's just about taking the next step, even if it's little. Paul writes that, you know, we can just take a step of faith. Fun thing, that's one of the activities that we have at camp. Why is it called that? Because sometimes it's just taking that step of faith in trust. Faith is a hard thing to really understand sometimes. It's hard to explain. I worked for a youth camp, and one of the themes that we had there was called, they called it high wire. High wires are too big, it's just this wire between buildings or rock formations. And, you know, they're pretty safe about it. And these men and women, they wear their harnesses and they tether themselves into this high wire. And then they try to walk from point A to point B. Terrifying. I don't like heights. Terrifying to think that. But they start out, you know, one little step at a time and just kind of trusting it. And, you know, they might wobble a bit and they try to get their balance. And if they fall, of course, they're tethered in. And so this camp, of course, talked about how Jesus, that high wire that we walk is there, and Jesus becomes that tethering, that we can be tethered to that high wire, that sense of faith, that we're walking and taking those steps of faith. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to progress. We're supposed to progress in our understanding and our trust of this limitless being. It's hard to explain who God is, because again, can't pinpoint it sometimes, but we're still to continually learn about him and grow and reach those heights. And the fourth thing that we can look at is this idea that Peter was doing that we do probably often, that we falter at, is that we should continue to look towards Jesus. Peter was keeping his eyes on God, focusing on him, having that faith to trust in him, trying to not let those outside sources get to him. They did. And of course, Jesus even said, like, why do you have such little faith in me? Why did you not understand and know that, like, I could do this, that I could wrap you up and I could take care of you? We are to remind ourselves that that is the quote-unquote prize, to be more like him, to be true Christians, to be Christ-like, to look to him, to be like him. Jesus showed Peter his limitless power, you know, the ability to walk on water, if something physical even. He gave Peter the same opportunity, and he is able to do, again, beyond all that we ask and all that we think. I love working at Lake Beauty. It's a joy and a privilege and a passion of mine to be able to do. One of the side things that I love about it is I love my morning walks, even in the wintertime, when I walk from my house down the hill and I can see the sunrise and over the lake and it's picturesque. I love nature. I feel super close with God in nature, so being at camp just makes sense. But it just always reminds me of Psalm 8 and this idea of this created order of God. And I think here we have this unlimited being creating a world and a human race that is so fractured, yet he still cares and he still loves us. And we get to praise and worship and glorify him in all of his limitlessness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we just thank you for opportunities, Lord, where we can gather together, where we can lift your name in song, where we can see baptisms, Lord, and this profession of faith, Lord, that you come to get together as a community, Lord, to help raise and lift one another up, to hear your word and know that you're able to do above and beyond all that we think and all that we know and all that we ask. And Father, I pray that we can go away with that, being encouraged, having the faith to take those steps to going towards your limitlessness, Lord, even though we are finite, limited beings. And it's in your name that we can pray all of these things. Amen.